step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Podcast on the Brink, your weekly dose of Indiana basketball news and discussion, brought to you by the Assembly Call and Inside the Hall. I'm your host, Jared Morris. Join me live at assemblycall.com every Thursday night and immediately following every IU game for our live IU postgame show. And visit insidethehall.com for complete coverage of IU basketball and to join the discussion in the Inside the Hall premium forum. All right, we are back for another episode of Podcast on the Brink. Nice to be back. Alex, I feel like I haven't been on one of these episodes in a while, so it is good to be back here. And we've got a couple other guests, Dylan Wallace, Cam Drummond, here with us. And we're going to do something kind of fun this week as we all search for interesting ways to create content with no new games and not a whole lot happening. Whose idea was this? Dylan, Cam, this was one of your guys' ideas, wasn't it?
Yeah, this came to me. I was just in the shower, and I guess I was probably, you know, had my mind on Inside the Hall and trying to think of content opportunities. And I'm not sure why this came to mind, but I think me and Dylan had just participated in like a fantasy baseball draft for a season that's probably not going to happen. So I guess I was just on the mind, and I was thinking, you know, why not, you know, kind of have some fun with the last decade of IU hoops.
The best ideas always come in the shower. You know, they really do. So what we're going to do, we just obviously completed a decade of Indiana basketball. And so we are going to do a draft, a four-team draft. The player pool is all the players who appeared in a game this past decade. And kind of the context here is once we draft these teams, these four fictional teams will then play in a fictional round-robin tournament. And we're going to turn it over then to the audience, to readers, to vote over at InsideTheHall.com on who would win. So that's what we're doing. We are drafting a team that we hope will impress the audience enough that they will vote on our team to be the winner of this fictional four-team tournament. Again, player pool is everybody who played. And as we were just discussing, you get like the best version of that player at IU. So not like the best single game version, like Cam, as you mentioned, you know, Marquette game Evan Fitzner or Kentucky game Maurice Creek, but you know, kind of the best version of that player over the average of his best season at Indiana, basically. So I think we can all, you know, I think we'll be mature enough to handle that. And that'll be the parameters that we'll put there for the voting. So we've established the order. We're going to go youngest to oldest. It will be a snake draft. Are there any other parameters that we need to set up here, Alex, before we hop into actually drafting?
I don't think so. It's we talked a little bit about this before. It's pretty deep, I would say, at the top. You got a lot of really good players, and then once you get down into the seventh, eighth man range, it's going to be interesting to see where some of these picks go. So, and that could be the ultimate determination of who wins.
Yeah, because the bench will matter, because this fictional four-team tournament, you know, will play full 40-minute games, so you're going to need a bench. It was interesting kind of going back and just putting together the player pool, like you said, Alex. There's a lot of really good players at the top, and then it gets thin. But look, that was part of the problem at the end of the Crean era, was just a lack of depth on these rosters. And that's something obviously Archie has been trying to rebuild, and that is definitely something that you see going through here. So All right.
No doubt about it.
You guys ready? Dylan, you've been on the clock here for a while, so you've had a lot of time to figure out who your first pick is going to be. And the other thing that you notice going through here is there's one particular position where there's a lot of scarcity. not a whole lot of options in terms of who's going to lead your team as the point guard. So it'll be interesting to see when the run on point guards begins. But with that said, Dylan, let's turn it over to you for the first pick in the first ever Podcast on the Brink All Decade Draft.
And I feel so special getting the first pick here. I also feel like it's worth noting real fast, because I remember in our greatest IU basketball tournament bracket we did, we didn't include current players, but I mean, we are going to include current players in this thing right now. So like,
yes.
Yeah. All right. But not going to take one of those guys with my first pick. So with the first pick of this draft, I got to take Yogi Ferrell. I'm big on point guards, and you know, being able to watch him play the last few seasons in Indiana, right when I started kind of watching, loved his game. So, you know, once I realized I had the first pick, I knew right away that I was going to be my guy. Need a point guard. I'm huge on guards. And then he was one of the best at IU to come through. So, yeah, need him. So, yeah, Yogi Ferrell, that's the first pick for me.
I mean, it kind of seems like the obvious pick. Would you have all taken him number one? Because he may not be the best player from this era, but by far the best point guard. And there just aren't that many other options out there. He would have been my first pick.
I would have taken him first too. I mean, just because the scarcity at the position, and also the fact that he was, you know, the program's all-time assist leader. I mean, he's a bona fide all-time IU great. So I think it's, while there's going to be a couple of other great players, I think taken right after him, if we're talking about the just the overall impact and how long he played and everything he did, I think he's at the top.
Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see who's left for Dylan when it snakes back around to him.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I would have taken him as well, because it takes me back to, I think, something you guys were talking about on Assembly Call Radio either last week or a couple weeks ago, talking about the maturity of Rob at point guard, the idea of becoming like a leader in the Big Ten and stuff. I mean, that's everything that Yogi was over the course of his career as well. So you think about like managing game situations and stuff like that in particular.
Yeah. All right, Cam, with your Dirk Town shirt on. You are, yes, you're next up.
With the second, I feel like there should be like some intro music before each thing. I feel like I'm the commissioner walking up to the podium or something.
Is like, we need to get like a David Stern or a Adam Silver mic on, you know, a voiceover to introduce each pick.
This is definitely the most important I've ever felt lying in my queen size bed at home in my childhood bedroom. But in any case, with the second pick of the draft, I'm going to take Jordan Hulls. I don't know.
Wow. A shocker early.
A product of me just watching too much IU basketball in recent years without much shooting, you know, especially from the guard positions. But me and Dylan were having a little chat last night kind of about what we're thinking and what direction we wanted to kind of form our teams during this draft. And I think especially early, I'm going to make a run on shooters. And obviously, you're not going to find too many of them better than Hulls over the last decade at IU.
I mean, yeah, also Cam, a guy who could potentially run your team. I mean, he's probably the second best point guard option that we have. So the scarcity, it's defensible. It's defensible.
Yeah, Cam was high on Hulls last night. He was texting me. So I had a feeling he's going to take him early.
Wow. Look at that. All I'm going to say is, sitting in the fourth position, I'm very happy that I'm going to get either Victor or Cody. So I'm very happy about that. I feel like I can work with that. Alex, which one of those two am I going to get? Because you're up third.
You're going to get Cody, because I'm taking Victor, who is the best player overall in this thing. The only guy in this era to win a National Player of the Year award.
God,
I think a lot of people think that he was maybe robbed out of Big Ten Player of the Year the year Trey Burke won it. They were neck and neck. And I mean, Oladipo, he could also run your team. So I was actually thinking he was going to go number two. So I'm going to be scrambling on my spreadsheet now to kind of adjust down, but I'm feeling pretty good with Vic. And if I don't get a point guard later, I can kind of slide him over and let him handle the ball and run things for my team. So feeling good about that one.
Okay. Well, I'm obviously going to take Cody Zeller fourth. Very, very excited to get him fourth as the anchor and the leader of my team. But the next question is interesting, because, you know, you guys took the three guys that you can really look at and say, okay, these guys could kind of run the team. Obviously, Yogi and Hulls. You know, Victor got a lot of ball handling experience, especially as a junior. But it's pretty thin after that, because you know, again, and I'm not going to, it's going to snake back around. So I'm not going to pick again for a while. You know, you're not going to take Josh Newkirk. You're not going to take Rob Phinisee here. You know, so you take Cody. Do you then go with, you know, just kind of the most talented ball handler that you have left, a guy like Romeo Langford? You know, do you try and just really stack the front court, get a shooter like Christian Watford or maybe an OG Anunoby? It's tough. I am going to trust the talent, and I'm going with Romeo. So I'm going to, my picks are Cody and Romeo. I've got my anchor down low. I know I've at least got one guy who can go get me buckets as a guard. But clearly I'm going to need some outside shooting. So we'll see what's left for me. My team may end up being a very modern style Indiana team with a lot of talent, not a lot of shooting. We'll see what happens, but I'm taking Cody and Romeo.
Reading a text from Cam from last night. He literally says, thinking about a Halls Langford backcourt and drooling. So Jared, you just broke his heart, I think.
That was good. My plan for the longest time. And I could just see it go up in smoke as words were coming out of your mouth.
All right, Alex, who are you pairing with Victor Oladipo?
Actually, this is a guy I had at number 4 on my board, so I'm happy to get him. I'm going to go with Thomas Bryant. I think he was obviously the reason that Indiana went from a pretty good team in 2014-15 to a darn good team in 15-16. He was really the missing piece. Obviously, you had OG and Juwan join the team that year, but Bryant was a guy who stepped in immediately, made a huge impact. What I like about him is not only can he score in the post, he can also step out and knock down the occasional shot from the perimeter. So he's not just your back-to-the-basket big man. And I love his energy. He's a guy that, you know, I think he would mesh well with Victor because both are high-energy guys that play hard and are flying all over the court. So I'm feeling pretty good. I got Vic kind of handling the ball, and then I've got Thomas Bryant anchoring my front court right now, but can also step out. So two strong picks, I feel like, to get out of the gates.
Okay. Cam, who are you pairing with Jordan Hulls?
On that note, considering my Romeo Langford super court backcourt duo plan kind of went out the window, I'm going to take OG Anunoby just because of, you talked about the talent aspect, but also I think this is maybe important when we get to the idea of, you know, the best version of that player at IU, because obviously this is kind of like discounting the knee injury season and stuff, and I felt comfortable with him at small forward for sure.
Okay. All right. Dylan, it's all the way back to you. You've got your point guard in Yogi Ferrell.
I do.
Who are you putting with him?
All right. I think I'm going to go with Juwan Morgan here because my time at IU, I mean, he was the one guy, you know, I got there in Green's final year. He was the one kind of constant every year, every season up until this last one because he wasn't there. But I was just a big fan of what he was able to do on the court. With how kind of small he was and how kind of big he played, really impressed me. He can do a lot of things. He's pretty versatile. So I like a Yogi Juwan sort of combination. I know they were teammates when Juwan was a little young. So to get Juwan, you know, in his prime at IU with the Yogi prime, I'm excited about that.
Okay. So just to recap, after the first two rounds, Dylan has Yogi and Juwan. Cam has Jordan Hulls and OG Anunoby. Alex has Victor Oladipo and Thomas Bryant, and I have Cody Zeller and Romeo Langford. So now, Dylan, is back to you for the beginning of round 3.
Yep. Need a shooter. Taking Nick Zeisloff. I need a shooter. And he, you know, with Hall's off the board, you know, I like what I see from Zeisloff being a spot up 3-point shooter. So I'm going to take him right away.
You took Nick Zeisloff over James Blackman Jr. and you're looking for shooting.
I did. I liked what I saw from Zeisloff. I don't know. My experiences with James Blackman, I obviously watched him. I don't know. I wasn't huge on him. But maybe I missed his like really good year. I don't know. But
I'll tell you what, I'm looking over at the green room right now and Christian Watford is beside himself. James Blackman Jr., I just saw him throw his hands up when you made that pick. All right, there's some really good players still left here. Cam.
Yeah, it's funny that Dylan took Juwan Morgan. He knows I'm kind of the clubhouse Juwan Morgan fan club guy, so I was hoping he'd still be there. But I'm not going to make the same mistake that Dylan did in terms of shooting, so I'm going to take James Blackman Jr. Just because again, like I said, I wanted to get a lot of shooters early. I like the pairing of him and Holes. And also, I mean, especially in the past couple of years, you've seen what happens when inconsistent shooting can plague a team. And more often than not, I trust James Blackman Jr. to hit down that shot from deep. So I'll take James Blackman.
Don't do it, Alex. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Man, I feel like this I think this one was just like handed to me.
Don't
man.
Do it. No.
Number six on my board, Christian Walker. No. God. How do I not take him at this point?
I didn't think I had a chance to get back to him. God.
He was a high 40% 3-point shooter as a senior, I believe. Really got better over his time at IU. And I mean, you talk about a team now that can space the floor. I've got Watford as my four. He can knock down the three on the break as a trailer. He can also step out and open things up for Thomas when he's posting up. So
it's a great value pick. I mean, it's just a great value pick.
So, yeah, I mean, to me, that one was easy, but you've got a pretty nice little two picks coming up here. I think there's some really good pieces here on the board.
No, there are definitely some good pieces. I really wanted Watford. So now I'm a little bit shook that he's gone. You know, I like starting my backcourt with Romeo, but I definitely need a guy who can shoot and someone else who can handle some ball handling responsibilities and also a defender. So I'm not necessarily saying he's like the best of the guys left, but I know I'm going to take Robert Johnson because I can't get out of here without another guard and a versatile guard at that. So I'm definitely taking Robert Johnson. And then it's interesting because the most value right now on the board is big guys. You've got Noah Vonleh left, an incredible talent, you know, who was obviously really good his freshman year. You've got Trace Jackson Davis, an incredible talent. The issue is I have Cody Zeller, you know, so do I want to play with a couple bigs like that? Because you've also got some more wings like Troy Williams and Will Sheehy. And, you know, you've got some other shooters there. Man, I've got Robert Johnson. I've got Romeo Langford. We don't have a clock, right? So I can sit here for 5 minutes pondering this and trying to figure out who I want to take here. All right. I tell you what I'm going to do. Because he showed the ability to step out and knock down the outside shot, I'm taking Noah Vonleh because I think he's the best talent on the board. And I think you can work with that because of his ability to step out and face the basket and put he and Zeller together defensively. So we're going to see how that works, but I'm kind of going with talent and we'll figure it out. But his ability to shoot makes me feel like you can make some lineups work there. Good luck Trace getting any rebounds against my team.
Trace is still on the board, but that doesn't really work for me with Bryant and Watford. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and take Rob Phinisee.
Whoa.
Go ahead and keep Victor at the two, and Rob will be my point guard. But I like that Rob can shoot it a little bit and also handle the ball. Similar, you know, Victor's obviously a more dynamic player, so this can kind of give him a chance to do both. So I'm going to go ahead, you know, in terms of point guards, he was really the last legit one out there still left on the board. So I'm going to go ahead and take Phinisee and then try to fill in the gaps at the wing next.
Okay.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
So, Cam, you got Holes, OG, and James Blackman Jr. What are you doing with your fourth pick?
Yeah, obviously I need a kind of helper, basically anyone in the front court. And with Trace Jackson Davis sitting there looking right at me, I think we signed up from him in 1 year. You know, especially on defensively as well, being able to be a rim protector, kind of a maybe not an overly physical presence there, but someone with length who's able to kind of control that area of the paint, especially from a rebounding perspective as well. So I like Trace Jackson Davis to the team.
Okay, Trace Jackson Davis. Dylan, you have Yogi, Juwan Morgan, and Nick Zeisloft. What are you going to do with pick number four?
I think I'm going to go, I need a wing player, and I'm going to take Troy Williams. Freakish athleticism, can defend, so I'm going to take him. And as I'm forming this team, I realize I essentially have a version of the 2015-16 Indiana team right now. So that's basically what I got. But they won a Big Ten title and went to the Sweet 16, so maybe that's promising.
They did. All right, so half the draft is done. Dylan has Yogi, Juwan Morgan, Nick Zeisloft, and Troy Williams. Cam has Jordan Hulls, OG Anunoby, James Blackman Jr., and Trace Jackson Davis. Alex has Victor Oladipo, Thomas Bryant, Christian Watford, and Rob Phinisee. And I have Cody Zeller, Romeo Langford, Robert Johnson, and Noah Vonleh. Now it is time to fill out the rest of our starting lineups and our benches because we're going to go with eight-man teams. Dylan, it is you get to kind of snake back here to begin the fifth round. Who are you taking to complete your starting lineup?
This is tough. I can't decide if I want to, you know, put Juwan at the four and try to get a five. I might do that because Juwan's probably better off as a four. Man. So I'm looking over at Deron Davis. So I get Deron Davis pre-Achilles injury. And that'd be what, his sophomore year. He plays really good against Duke. Because that's the version of Deron Davis I'm going to get. That's a pretty good one. You know, I remember him and Juwan Morgan bodied Wendell Carter and Marvin Bagley in that Duke game. So, you know, that's my front 1-2 punch in the front court. I might have to take that. So I'll take Deron Davis here. Round out the starting five.
Okay. All right, Deron Davis. Cam, your fifth pick.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is a controversial pick or anything, but I think this is a pick that I like with my lineup, especially because of the defensive versatility this guy can give me. Especially more on that end than his offensive skills. So I'm going to take Justin Smith.
Okay. Justin Smith completes Cam's starting lineup. Alex, where are you going with your fifth pick?
Man, I feel like this one was gift wrapped to me.
Gosh, dang it.
To fill out the three on my lineup. Because I got Rob and I've got Vic in the backcourt. I've got Thomas Bryant and Watford up front. I'm going to go with Will Sheehy
at
three. He gives me some shooting. He gives me a guy that will get on the floor after loose balls. He's an instigator. I like to call him, like, for White Sox fans, he's basically the AJ Pierzynski of IU basketball for the last decade. He will flex on Purdue. He will not back down from guys like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist in the Kentucky game. So
no, he won't.
I'm feeling pretty good about Sheehy. I was a little bit, I think I had him 16th on my board, so this is about right where he would go. And so he rounds out my starting lineup.
Okay. For the second straight time, you take the guy that I was going to take. Good pick. Good pick. You know, I could really triple down on my front court, grab Max Bielfeldt as another shooting big man, and have Cody Zeller, Noah Vonleh, and Max Bielfeldt. But I'm not going to do that. I want some shooting. I want a little bit of versatility. So I'm going with Colin Hartman to add some of that to my lineup. And then I got to pick again. So you know, now that we have the starters completed, I like my big man depth. So what I want to do here is trying to figure out who's going to play when Cody or Noah are off the court. You know, because Hartman could play some four, so that gives me a little bit of versatility. And it would be nice to have another shooter and another ball handler, which, you know, could be a guy like Verdell Jones, but I would like somebody who is a little bit more accomplished as a three-point shooter. Devontae is interesting there, but I think I want to go with a guy who is a little bit more consistent than that. You know, and this is kind of tough because we never really got to see him fully blossom at Indiana, but I'm going to kind of trust the criteria and trust the voters to understand what this guy could bring to the table with this lineup, and so I'm going to take Maurice Creek for his shooting and scoring ability. So I'm going with Maurice, and let's remember the good times with Maurice Creek, right, everybody? Because he didn't have many of them, but he did have some good times at Indiana. So that's who I'm going with. Alex, back to you.
I'm going to go with Verdell Jones. I think he's a guy that is probably perfect suited for the six-man role. A lot of times in Indiana, he was maybe in the first couple of years forced to do a little bit more than he was capable of. But by the time he was an upperclassman before he got hurt that last season, he was really playing well. He can handle the ball. As you mentioned, not a great shooter from the perimeter, but he can play both guard spots. He's got some size and can get into the lane. So pretty easy pick for me at this stage to get Verdell Jones, a guy who was really, really a solid player over his 4-year career.
And really, frankly, you kind of need a guy that can step in as a backup point guard with Rob, because, you know, even the best version of Rob Phinisee has been pretty inconsistent, you know, has kind of dealt with some issues, some ups and downs that should be obviously taken into account when voting on these. So I think Verdell is a smart pick for you there. Cam?
Yeah, so the one thing that my lineup is distinctly lacking right now is any kind of shooting threat from the front court with Trace and Justin Smith, just because they're not the types of guys, at least so far in their Indiana careers, who've been able to step out and make shots. So on that note, I'm going to kind of follow Alex's lead and take a guy who was actually the Big Ten Sixth Man of the Year and collect Max Bielfeld.
I like that pick for you. Smart. Dylan?
All right, looking at need some bench scoring here. I might have to take Devontae just for the unknown. Take the unknown off the bench, because if he can come in and get hot and score 25, then he's doing his job. So take Devontae for that microwave ability to get hot like that.
Okay. This seems like a defensible time to take a chance on the talent. You know, you don't have to count on him as a starter, but he can come in and you ride him if he's hot, and if he's not, you know, then you sit him down. So,
yeah,
makes some sense.
Jared, just to go off that, you set me up perfectly. You and I have been speaking his praises since the offseason, but I gotta take my guy Jerome Hunter.
Okay,
I just think talent wise, he's got a lot of potential. I love Jerome. Hopefully that plays out for me.
Now, but just remember, with the parameters that we set here, you don't get idealized future version of Jerome Hunter. You get the version that we've seen, which is, you know, splashes of greatness, obviously, but some inconsistencies.
But I also think when the fans also think he can be really good, so I think they're also going to look at that and they'll be like, Jerome, We think he's the best still yet to come, so they'll take that into consideration too.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Cam, back to you.
The next two guys on my big board were both the players that Dylan just took, so I'm very disappointed to see Devontae and Jerome go off the board. I want to get one final big guy just to who's a kind of a traditional big guy, just to be able to spell Trace, especially on the inside. So I'm going to take the third member of this past year's Indiana team actually right now. And I'm going to take Race Thompson.
Okay.
Just because I think he's that gritty presence that can really muck up games. And especially from a defensive perspective, I don't really have to worry about any opposing strong big men, because I can just stick Race on him for a significant period of time and feel pretty comfortable with that.
Okay. Alex, that brings it back to you. You've had a couple of pretty obvious picks the last couple times this has happened. Who are you gonna go with?
Yeah,
this time?
I'm gonna go with another big man, and again, this is based on the year that he had. He wasn't at IU very long, but when he was there, he was productive, and I think a guy that obviously showed later on that he was more than a capable player. But I'm gonna go with Emmett Holt.
Okay,
I really like. And obviously he's close with Thomas Bryant, so that's going to help my team chemistry. They know they're boys, they go way back, so I'm going to give him the nod as my kind of backup big man off the bench. I think he's got a lot of talent. You know, there's some other guys that I maybe thought about, Hunter Mascara-Perea, Devin Davis, but I'm going to go with Holt.
Emmett Holt. Okay. And you get, obviously, the Emmett Holt that was here, who, as you alluded to, clearly not as productive as the guy that we saw at Providence, but did have some moments. Yeah, I think back to that.
He had some Pittsburgh game, right?
Yeah. So you don't get Emmett Holt, you know, Pittsburgh Emmett Holt every game in this, but, you know.
He was still pretty good that year, and he's, I mean, I felt like if I took some of the other, I mean, you know, the reason I took him, even though he was dismissed for an off-court reason, I mean, the other two guys were also just mentioned were also basically kicked off the team, so it wasn't like I had a great. I mean, Joey Brunk's there too, but I don't know. I think I'd rather have the athleticism with Emmett Holt.
Yeah. You know, so this is interesting. So I right now, you know, backcourt guys, I've got Romeo, Robert Johnson, and Maurice Creek. Obviously, then I have Cody Zeller and Noah Vonleh in the front court with Colin Hartman as kind of a versatile guy that can play the three, can play the four. You know, I'm intrigued by a few of the shooters that are left, but I'd also like to get just a little bit more potential, you know, defensive versatility. And so, you know, this is a guy whose career was really plagued by injuries. Yeah, but when he did play, he was productive and showed the ability to step out and hit some outside shots, which I liked, showed some defensive versatility. And so I feel like he just kind of fits how this roster is shaping up. And, you know, I love the leadership of this guy. So I'm going with Derek Elston for my seventh pick. You know, who a guy with underrated skills, you know, and had some big moments and some big games, but just unfortunately, you know, I'm kind of trusting with my bench guys here, Maurice Creek and Derek Elson, they're going to be healthy for this tournament, and that the voters remember the good times, because there were definitely good times with those guys. And then I got to pick again. Shoot, I forgot. I snaked backwards. I think I am going to go with the most reliable combination of shooting and ball handling that is left. And so I'm going to go with Al Durham. Just another guy who can step in, handle the ball, certainly can step in and knock down some shots. You can kind of pair him with Romeo, you know, not ideal defensively, but I think is the eighth guy, just, you know, getting the best shooter who's left. I mean, Matt Roth is a better shooter, but I like Al's offensive versatility more than what Matt Roth gives me. So, oh man, Remy Abel's still there too. No, I'm going with Al. I'm going to trust Al. Alex, back to you.
Yeah, to me, this comes down to getting another wing guard / shooter. And the two guys that I'm looking at closely are obviously Matt Roth, who you just mentioned, and Remy. I just don't – Stan Robinson, I don't trust enough. I'm going to go with, to kind of continue the theme of my team, which is built primarily on guys who are a little bit more physical and athletic for the most part. I'm going to go with Remy Abel. He was obviously he played on the two Korean teams that were really good. He was obviously off the bench just because of the sheer amount of talent, but from a physical perspective, he came into college a man, and he can knock down the occasional outside shot. He's fearless. He can handle the ball. So I think he's a really great value at the eighth pick.
Okay. Cam?
Yeah, so looking at my team, obviously I have a lot of kind of built-in scoring and shooting with Hulls and Blackman, but I want a little bit off that from the bench as well, from the guard spot. And the last two guys, or the two guys left that were highest up on my big board, were Remy Abel and Matt Roth. So considering one of them's gone, I'll take Matt Roth. I mean, obviously, you can't go wrong with the guy who was that good from three-point range, especially in his senior season. And, you know, being a four-year guy, too, hopefully adds a bit of leadership to what is, I guess, kind of a young team, especially with a starting lineup that has Trayce Jackson-Davis playing a prominent role in it.
Okay. Dylan, the last pick of the draft. Who are you going to get to round out your roster?
All right, last pick. So I think I got, you know, enough guards and wings and shooters to kind of handle my team. So I'm going to go with a big guy to sort of spare Juwan and Duran if needed. You know, I see this dunk every time in a video highlight, so I'm going to go with Tom Pritchard.
Okay.
Every intro, you know, you see that big dunk. Duke. So, and you know, yeah, he had his really good freshman year. He averaged almost 10 points a game. So, you know, I'll take Tom Pritchard down low. Big, big presence. Had a pretty high, you know, field goal percentage when he played there. So take him.
All right. So as we look at some guys who were not picked, you know, Josh Newkirk, a guy who played a lot of minutes, Stan Robinson, Armon Franklin, Zach McRoberts, Jeremy Hollowell, Evan Fitzner, Joey Brunk, Hunter Mascara-Perea, Freddie McSwain. Alex, are you surprised by any of the people who are still left?
I can tell you I ranked them down to 34, and there's only three left on my list. Hunter, Devin Davis, and Zach McRoberts.
Yeah.
Would have never considered any of the point guards that were left that you have on the kind of the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
I mean, the shooters that you have left are Curtis Jones and Grant Gaylon, who neither one obviously did much of anything at IU. And the wings, man, there's some guys who at one time I think had some promise, but Jeremy Hollowell, Austin Etherington, Max Holtzel, Evan Fitzner, Demezi. Yeah, I wouldn't feel good about any of those. I mean, maybe the best player left in terms of a talent perspective is Luke Fisher, but he was there for a half season and then left. So
and he was okay in that time. It was kind of hard to rate him or figure out where you would kind of put him in.
And Perea, just in terms of sheer talent and athleticism, I mean, he's obviously a guy that you would look at. And Devin Davis, I mean, I think a lot of people, I think he had a game against Michigan up at Michigan that he was really darn good. So he's got some talent too. I mean, a former top 100, 150 type player. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it kind of illustrates. I think once we got to about the fifth round on, it got to be a little bit more slim because, like Jared, you're taking guys like Maurice Creek and Derek Elston, who were injury prone, but when they were at their best, they were very good. Cam, you know, took a guy in Race Thompson who we've seen flashes of but hasn't really put it all together. Dylan, Devontae Green, who, depending on the day, could either be Florida State Devontae Green or the guy who disappears for five games in the middle of the Big Ten season. And I'm taking guys like Emmett Holt and Verdell Jones, who Verdell Jones was, you know, at the time one of the more criticized players to come through IU. And I think it was a large part of because he was just, you know, he was a guy that was recruited late by Tom Crean and cast in a role that maybe he wasn't ready for as a freshman, but as time went on, he got better. And Emmett Holt, who was dismissed from the program. So there's just a lot of different guys. I think after you get to about the fourth, fifth round that can go either way. And it'll be interesting to see how people vote on this. Cause I mean, as I look at the rosters, they all look pretty balanced to me. I don't think there's anything that looks other than Jordan Holes going second, Cam. And I love Jordan Holes. I don't know that there's a whole lot that I would look at and say, man, that's too crazy or out of line.
You just gave me so much stuff for picking Zeisloff in the first pick of the third round.
Well, I'm the leader of the Nick Zeisloff fan club, so I'm not going to give you any heat on that.
I mean, it's a reliable shooter, you know? So let's recap this real quick, you know, with the starting lineup. So, Dylan, your starting lineup is Yogi Ferrell, Nick Zeisloff, Troy Williams, Juwan Morgan, and Deron Davis. All right, that's Dylan's. Cam's starting lineup is Jordan Halls, James Blackman Jr., OG Anunoby, Justin Smith, and Trace Jackson Davis. Alex's is Rob Phinisee, Victor Oladipo, Will Sheehy, Christian Watford, and Thomas Bryant. And then I've got Robert Johnson, Romeo Langford, Colin Hartman, Noah Vonleh, and Cody Zeller. So here's my question, and we'll kind of go around. Who do you think, whose backcourt do you trust the most? Dylan's got Yogi and Zeisloft, Cam, Holes and Blackman, Alex, Rob Phinisee and Victor Oladipo, and I've got Robert Johnson and Romeo Langford. Dylan, which backcourt do you trust the most out of those?
I'm probably going to have to say Alex's, Robin Oladipo. Just really interesting there. You know, I like my backcourt of Yogi and Zeisloft, but in terms of a backcourt where you can literally rely on both guys to handle the ball and make plays out of it, you know, Phinisee and Oladipo are probably the strongest. You know, Rob's a very calming presence, and, you know, Oladipo's Oladipo, so I'll have to say that one.
So, Alex, I will counter that and kick it to you by saying, can we really trust Rob Phinisee? Or are we, you know, thinking about this as idealized version of Rob Phinisee? We want to be able to trust him. We feel like we should be able to trust him, but he hasn't quite yet proven that.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I might go with
because Hull's Blackman, I mean, offensively, you're dynamic, but who are you guarding with that backcourt?
Right. I mean, Rob Johnson and Romeo is good, but at the same time, you don't really like Rob Johnson's not a guy that's going to run your offense necessarily.
I'm putting the ball in Romeo's hands.
Right. And so Romeo, yeah, I mean, he can obviously make plays. I mean, I do like the Fantasy Vic combo from the standpoint of, you look at Rob, has he really had like a great player he had Romeo as a freshman, but has he really had a great backcourt mate that he can rely on at all times to play with? And so maybe the presence of Victor kind of lets him shift to the just role of just running the team, playing solid defense and not trying to do too much. So, yeah, I mean, all of them have flaws, don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
I mean, I'm going to take the backcourt with the guy that had the number two pick in the draft and a guy who won a National Player of the Year award. I think that's a pretty good argument for just for that backcourt in general.
Yeah, Cam, what do you think? I mean, to me, you look at Yogi and Zeisloft, and Yogi was so reliable as a point guard, and at least with Zeisloft, when Yogi drives and dishes, you've got a reliable shooter out there. That's why it was defensible, Dylan, even if it was a little high for Zeisloft, but... Cam, what do you think backcourt was?
I think what's working in Alex's favor is the fact that, if we're assuming a round robin tournament or whatever, that's a couple games and you're not looking at the progression of a backcourt over the season, because I think that's where maybe some of your concerns with Fantasy in terms of not, having incredibly strong leadership skills that we've seen in the past 2 years, or just the injury habits as well, maybe comes into factor a bit more. I will agree with you that I don't think we're guarding too many guys with my backcourt of Paul's Blackman, but I also think if we can win games with 113 points per scoring average, I'd be okay with that as well.
Well, I think my backcourt has its issues, Rob and Romeo, I get it. But defensively, I think that's going to be a pretty good backcourt. So I'm trusting that those guys are really going to be able to guard, and that's going to help out. All right, front court wise. We'll kind of group the wings in there. I've got Hartman, Noah Vonleh, and Cody Zeller. Alex has Will Sheehy, Christian Watford, and Thomas Bryant. Cam, you've got OG, Justin Smith, and Trace Jackson Davis. And Dylan has Troy Williams, Juwan Morgan, and Deron Davis. I really like the balance that Alex has with Sheehy, Watford, and Thomas Bryant. I think those guys would fit together great. I love the talent of mine. And then I think Cam and Dylan, you guys have, yours are interesting. But it just kind of depends on the versions of the guys, that you're going to get, which I guess you could say that about all these. But Alex, as you look at it, what front court do you think is the best?
I mean, I like Dylan's. It's the Deron that we saw in the Duke game, although that's not really necessarily, we're not talking best case scenario, and his career was just so up and down. I think from a talent perspective, he's really good, and I love Juwan and Troy playing together, because I think both of them are just kind of tenacious competitors, and Troy can finish above the rim. Juwan's a great rebounder, so I like that.
Okay, but let me ask you this question. Is Dylan not maximizing having Yogi because he doesn't have a whole lot of shooting? I mean, he's got Zeisloft who can shoot, but those other guys, none of them are reliable outside shooters. So things are going to be a little flawed.
I mean, the starting lineup, yeah, but he can bring in Devontae off the bench to knock down some perimeter shots if he needs to. But yeah, I mean, Troy made the occasional three-pointer, Juwan too, but they weren't high-percentage guys. But so, I mean, I'm trying to, yours, Jared, is really good. I mean, Cody Zeller and Noah Vonleh, I mean, that's two top 10 picks in the NBA draft. You got Colin Hartman on the wing to shoot threes, so that's pretty good too. I mean, I don't know if I would pick any above the others. I mean, Cam, I liked Trace and OG. I didn't necessarily love Justin Smith as your fifth pick. Nothing against Justin Smith, but like in terms of, I would have just played OG at the four and not taken Justin Smith and put him at the three, but that's my personal opinion.
One reason that was kind of defensible is it does help out you don't have a good defensive backcourt, but if you get OG and Justin humming defensively, that's some defensive talent right there. And then Trace to kind of clean up the messes. So your roster construction actually makes some sense given who you have in the backcourt. So if those guys are going to be scoring a bunch of points, at least your other three guys are going to be able to lock things down, on the back end when they're kind of focused and locked in. defensively. So that did make some sense.
Yeah, it's kind of a roundabout way, I guess, of getting to it. But also something I didn't even think about until now was, I don't know if we should have even bothered drafted like a coaching staff or anything, but maybe we should, I guess, think about the coaching philosophies that each one of these rosters would work with as well. Because like all of a sudden, especially from a defensive standpoint, a lot of these teams are, I mean, basically all of them, because the mixed match of guys from different eras, or you're cramming guys who play the pack line or are still learning the pack line versus guys who did, you know, the furthest thing from that in terms of what they were taught and what they practiced and stuff like that. So I think that would be the most interesting way, if this were ever to come together in real life, is you're taking the different defensive philosophies and trying to make some kind of cohesive thing out of that.
My team is going to switch defenses twice within each possession to confuse opposing offenses. It's a very novel concept to defense, but no, I mean, that is a good point, Cam. And I don't know how deeply we want to get into that, but I guess we can, you know, unfortunately there aren't that many coaches to go around. So I guess when we write this up, then we can say like what style we're going to play. But anyway, all right. So we will put these rosters on InsideTheHall.com. Folks will be able to vote on them, and you will be able to determine. Again, it's a four-team round-robin tournament. So these teams are going to play each other, and then it is your guess as to who would win that round-robin tournament. We'll try and get some expert opinions, too, to come in and look at these rosters and tell us who they think would win. Any final thoughts, gentlemen, after this wonderful draft experience? Dylan, why don't you begin?
Yeah, I think it was pretty fun. I mean, it was kind of cool to especially look at a much smaller kind of field of, you know, the past decade, as opposed to maybe going like all the way back to some of the IU greats where you have players like Calvert Chaney in the mix. Cause you know, that it gets, you know, there's a lot more players to pick from, and this was a lot smaller pool, which makes things a little more challenging because you're really trying to like shape your lineup. You're not just going on based off of like who's the best player I could possibly pick. You're kind of going off of, you know, okay, I took Yogi Ferrell, now what can I use to try to build around him? Even though maybe I didn't do the best job in that, you know, it was still a fun challenge. And I think the people are gonna like this, to pick on who they think is gonna win. It'll really make them think, you know, I really like this person versus this matchup and things like that. So I think it'll be really cool. And like you said, you know, hopefully we can get some expert opinions on it, and that would just make things a lot better and more engaging.
Alex?
Yeah, it was definitely fun. It's interesting to think about just how much talent that IU's had over this last decade. There's been a lot of great players, but then I think you made a really good point, Jared. Once you got past the great players on every team, there just wasn't in many cases the depth that you needed to sustain success over several years. And I think that's one reason we saw a change in leadership. So I think that's still kind of an issue now with IU basketball. We're going to see this upcoming season as being billed as potentially a really good one. But there's going to be a lot of guys, I think, after this upcoming season that are going to be gone. So how do those gaps get filled? And I think that's kind of what Archie's trying to do, is with this whole get old, stay old initiative. That was something that Tom Crean could never do consistently. So yeah, it was a fun exercise. I'm going to be interested to see who wins. You know, there's not obviously a lot to talk about right now, so anything that we can come up with and fun exercise like this, maybe we can do some different eras if this one's well received. And you know, that might require a little bit more homework on our end, because of not as much familiarity with some of the older eras. But I think you go back in the 70s and 80s and 90s too, there's a ton of great players, so it would also be fun to go through some of those as well.
Yeah. Cam?
Yeah, I think this was actually a really cool exercise, especially in comparison to like the greatest of, you know, IU basketball all-time bracket, just because, I mean, no offense to guys like Max Bielfeldt and Matt Roth or whatever, but they're not going to be on that list. So this was more of a realistic experience in team building. Like, you know, it felt like I was playing like College Hoops 2K8 again, and I was trying to build like Northern Illinois into some powerhouse. Or, I mean, there's probably a reason why none of us are leading high major or any major college basketball programs at this point. But it was fun to kind of, you know, pick different guys and, you know, see what everyone's different style and philosophy would be in terms of priorities for, you know, what you want to build your team around. And obviously kind of interesting to see the progression of talent as well, looking at how many guys from the early 2010s were picked versus the later part of the decade. And especially when looking at the point guard spot and just the backcourt in general, how so many of those guys came from, you know, kind of the first 5 or 6 years of the decade compared to the latter couple years.
Yeah, you know, and it's just interesting to look at some of the guys that didn't get picked, you know, like a Luke Fisher, like a Jeremy Hollowell, you know, Devin Davis, some guys that had a lot of hype coming in, you know, and they played in, you know, obviously briefly for Indiana, and you saw some of the talent, but it didn't get fully realized until they went elsewhere, you know, and so they don't get picked in this, but just, you know, kind of some missed opportunities recruiting wise for guys that, you know, maybe, you know, were misidentified for the culture and style that they were going to be, you know, asked to play, and then went and did better elsewhere. And then obviously looking at some of the question marks, the guys who were injured that you just, you know, you kind of wonder what their career would have been, you know, like a Maurice Creek, like a Derek Elston, and you kind of hope that, you know, a guy like a Jerome Hunter, who we've seen the flashes of talent, that he is not one of those guys where it's like, you know, no, remember the good times. They were short, but they were really good, and that he can, you know, actually blossom and become a good, consistent player. So yeah, fun exercise, a lot of really, really good players to think about. And you know, but obviously not quite the depth of talent that you would, it would be interesting to do this for some other Big Ten teams, you know, for like a Michigan State or, you know, Wisconsin, teams that have been consistently good, and to see how much better the depth goes for a four-man draft like this. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed this. If you're listening to this right now and you're just like, man, that one particular pick was great, or that one particular pick was awful, just send us a tweet and let us know at Assembly Call at Inside the Hall. And then go to InsideTheHall.com and you can actually vote. You can see the order, you can see the picks, you can see the teams, and then you can vote on which team you think did best. So just go right there and submit your vote for Jared's team. And everything will be all good. All right. Dylan, Cam, thanks for doing this. Always a pleasure. And we'll talk to you guys next week on a new episode of Podcast on the Brink. Thank you for listening to this episode of Podcast on the Brink. We always appreciate you being here. Remember to join me and my co-hosts for more IU basketball talk at assemblycall.com and visit Alex over at insidethehall.com for complete coverage of Indiana basketball. If you want to support Podcast on the Brink, here is the single best way to do it. Tell anyone you know who loves IU hoops about us and suggest that they subscribe. Podcast on the Brink can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else podcasts are available. Tell your social media followers, email your friends, text your family members. For weekly discussion about IU basketball, they need to be subscribed to Podcast on the Brink. We'll talk to you next time. Go Hoosiers.